Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, Mason in Ireland. Momo in for Mace. We mentioned that Pau Gasol tomorrow night's getting his uniform number retired. And I can't wait for it because Ramona Pau is one of my favorite guys to cover. For a guy to be that famous, you could argue that either him or, there's a couple of soccer players, Davi Villa. There's Arantxa yep. Sanchez Vicario.
Oh, cool.
Rafa Nadal. Pau's one of the most five famous athletes ever to come out of Spain.
Yep.
Never had an ego. Never was a jerk. Was great to everybody. Super charitable. Great teammate.
Yeah.
Really happy they're doing that for him tomorrow. So a couple weeks ago, this aired on Backstage Lakers over the weekend. My buddy Bill McDonald hosted and Lakers All Access. And one of the people there was Slava Medvedenko. And I don't know if you know this, but Medvedenko, who won two rings with the Lakers, is from the Ukraine.
Yep.
And when the war started, he sold his two championship rings to help with the Ukrainian war effort because all of his friends were getting killed. So Jeannie Buss, and Jeannie is very good with stuff like this. The Lakers just do ceremony really well.
Yeah.
So she surprised Slava at Lakers All Access, and here's how that sounded.
One of that night, I just decided if something happened with me, I have to keep these rings.
The idea that he would make a sacrifice, such as selling such sentimental items like championship rings, we had to do something too.
On behalf of the Lakers, it is my great honor to present to you, Slava, with these replacement rings. Not only are you an NBA champion, you are a champion for humanity. Thank you for all you do.
The best thing for us to do was to replace what he gave away. And they won't have the same meaning. They'll probably have even more meaning than winning an NBA championship.
So you could hear how emotional she was. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes, and you know Jeannie pretty well, Momo, I think sometimes in a business, because NBA is kind of cutthroat and you got to trade players and cut them and let them go and, all that stuff, that people forget the human side. She's very good at not forgetting the human side. And I thought that was an extraordinarily nice gesture. Those rings are uber expensive. They're like $60,000, $70,000, maybe more a year. And the fact that she heard what he did and then said, that's not right, and then went out and replaced them, I thought was really cool.
It's not that easy to go replace those. Those are like custom made.
Yeah.
So you have to go
Jason
find
Beverly Hills.
Yeah, I'm
does
sure
them
he has them someplace, but it's not like a mass-produced thing.
Yeah, he only makes a certain amount.
Yeah, it's not like they had some extras left over.
The player rings are different than, for example, the ring I have.
Correct.
The ring I have is nice and it's expensive, but it's not $80,000.
Right.
And so I thought that was really cool that the Lakers went out of their way to do that for Slava, who is obviously this thing was very personal to him, and this war in the Ukraine, because it affected his homeland. So good for Jeannie and good for doing that. Okay, so I want to ask you guys about something. Do you guys know who Olivia Dunn is, Bergman? Do you know who that is?
The name sounds familiar.
Do you know, Momo? Olivia
no.
Dunn?
Olivia Dunn.
Okay. She is a gymnast at LSU, and she's super attractive, so she's cashed in on NIL. She's got a lot of NIL deals. So the other day, she was promoting something called Cactus Artificial Intelligence.
All right.
It is a platform. It's AI that students can go on and automate their homework. She promoted it on her TikTok account. So in other words, I got to write a paper on George Washington.
Yeah, I knew this is where this is going.
Term paper on George Washington, and the AI will write the paper for me, and then I could just turn it in. She posted the video to her 7.2 million TikTok followers.
That's a lot.
Where she shows herself using the AI tool. So the school was, you know, looked at it and went, wait a minute, we can't be encouraging this.
Yeah.
And the school came out with a statement. Here's the statement. At LSU, our professors and students are empowered to use technology for learning and pursuing the highest standards of academic integrity. However, using AI to produce work that a student then represents as one's own could result in a charge of academic misconduct, and this is outlined in the Code of Student Conduct. And that's the end of the statement. Here's my thought. Isn't what we all do now basically using AI? When I go on to look for topics for the show, when Greg goes on to look for topics for the show, we're basically stealing from the internet, right, Bergman?
Yes, that's exactly what they're doing.
And so I'm not saying it's good for AI to write your paper, but it's what a lot of students are going to do. And how is the school going to figure it out?
It's going to be hard. So, listen, I knew this is where this was going to go.
Anything wrong with what she did?
Yeah, I wouldn't do that. I would have definitely screened that one out. Like, you have to, okay, people who have NIL deals, what they do is they get, either they do it all themselves, or they most likely, somebody with that million followers, that number of followers, probably has an agency that does the NIL deals for her. Right, they handle it. They screen the people coming in who are making offers. Yeah, just like you would with ads. Are there ads that you would not do, John?
Of course.
Right.
Yeah.
Like what do you generally shy away from?
Well, I'm restricted. I'm the easy one to ask on this because I'm like, for example, the Lakers have a deal with Toyota.
Yeah.
So I can only do ads for Toyota or Lexus. That's it.
Yeah.
The Lakers have a deal with MGM Resorts, so I can't endorse other
casinos.
Yeah,
I'm very careful with gambling stuff just because I feel like journalistically it's off, and I also feel like I don't want to be losing people money if or winning people money. I can't be a part of that. It just feels off to me. There's certain things, like you just have to be kind of selective in what you promote. Now, it didn't take me long when we were having the conversations about AI last week to go, oh, people are just totally going to use that to write their homework. Totally going to use that to write their papers.
Right.
And that's going to be the next frontier of academic fraud, whether it's at the high school level or the college level or whatever it is. And the wise cheat would do the AI and then clean it up a little bit. Then write through it.
Okay.
Right?
Is this, I brought this up on the show before. Bergman, is this cheating? When I was at UCLA, I was in a fraternity, and we had a test file. So in other words, if I take Sociology 101, and I go and I take the final, I would keep the test, that was in the final, and I'd put it in the test file. Now, if the teacher uses the exact same test again, then the next guy in my fraternity is going to have the exact...
Yeah, it's cheating.
Wait a minute. Why isn't it on the teacher to change the test?
It is, but it's cheating.
Bergman, is that cheating?
Yeah.
I mean, in every... Right, yes, it's a cheating.
Jorge, is that cheating?
No,
you
I
have
did that
the
for
answers
a whole class.
To the...
It's not.
You're still cheating.
Wait a minute.
Even if you did it, it still makes it cheating.
No. I still have to prepare and study for the questions.
Right, no, but the other person doesn't. So the fact that you took it and put it someone for somebody else to use, you are then giving it to them to cheat.
Now, by the way, had they required me to turn it back in, I would have turned it back in. If they didn't...
But they didn't know you kept it. Did they know you kept it?
Well, they did, but if there was no rule to turn it back in, I would keep it and put it in the file. Now, if Ramona is coming behind me and she's taking the class next semester, and you say to me, hey, you took Sociology 101, right? And I'll say, yeah. Do you remember what was on the test? I can actually give you the questions. I saved it. That's cheating. You're still studying. You're still preparing for it. I saved the test. Why isn't it on the teacher to come up with a different test?
It should be, but to me, it is, the teacher should come up with a different test. Yes, absolutely. I agree with that. But I think that you are, like, cheating to me is giving someone an unfair advantage.
Okay.
Okay. And so it's not fair to the rest of the people in that class that you and your fraternity brothers have a copy of the test.
Of an old test.
Of an old test.
Not the current
test. That's an unfair
advantage.
By the way,
wasn't this a scene in Animal House when they went through the trash and found
this
the
This is very common in like frats and stuff.
And those idiots took the wrong test.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you still got to study. You still got to know it in case they throw you a curveball. Yeah. There is no guarantee that that's going to be the test.
Right.
So I just think it's doing everything you can to prepare.
Yeah.
I don't think it's
for somebody else.
Yeah, but the person who is the beneficiary of that has an unfair advantage.
Maybe.
So it's different than when, you know, you your whole story about how you just move your arm and let someone cheat off you. That's
number,
different.
What's number six?
Yeah, but that's not, that you're just moving your arm, you're taking a test, you're doing your thing.
Correct.
This, you're actually putting it into a file that somebody can then take and use to cheat on their test.
So what I would say too is when you're talking about do what we do for the show and as research, okay. Yes, and which is why I think it's important to like attribute information where you find it, right? Like you do a big scour of the internet, you have your sites that you go to, you find good stories.
Right.
But then you like attribute it. You say like, here's where I got this from usually. So that's the way you're not plagiarizing them. And you're putting your own spin on it. We're discussing it. We're talking about it. It's
right.
a talker. So to me, that's not stealing anything. We're just talking about stories.
All right, coming up, we're all, you know, do this for a living. We talk on the radio.
Yeah.
You ever guilty of TMI revealing more than you meant to or wanted to when you're on the radio?
I kind of think that's my entire life.
Well, you are not alone, my friend. A former Dodger answered a Q&A over the weekend, and I think he might be guilty of TMI. You guys be the judge. We'll play it for you next. Ramona Informace. I'm John Ireland, ESPN LA.
I honestly don't think I farted in 2 months.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mason in Ireland, Momo in for Mace. We're getting through a lot of stuff today, including this. So, Kike Hernandez was very popular when he played for the Dodgers. So was Justin Turner. They have now moved on to the Boston Red Sox. And the other day, they agreed to do a Q&A from fans.
Mm-hmm.
Turner is the one reading the questions.
Yep.
Kike is the one providing the answers. And he is so candid here that I can't decide if this is, if he's guilty of TMI, too much information, or he's just having some fun and this is okay. I'll let you guys be the judge. Listen to the story and tell me if he revealed too much.
2020 playoffs. I had a tooth infection, so I was taking some antibiotics from my infection.
Oh, wait a minute. Let me start this over again, because I thought the question was on there. He is asked by Justin Turner, what is the most embarrassing thing that has ever happened to you at a game? That's the question. What's the most
embarrassing thing
that's ever happened to you in the game? And here's Kike.
2020 playoffs. I had a
2020 playing for the Dodgers.
So I was taking some antibiotics from my infection, and one of the side effects was diarrhea, and we got a big out in a big situation during the NLDS, and I screamed, I was DHing, and I thought I farted, I went out to lead off the inning. I struck out in 3 pitches. When I went in the dugout, I went straight to the bathroom, put my pants down, completely sharted.
So you're saying you misjudged a heart?
I know. What I'm saying is I shit my pants during a game.
Oh, my God.
Or yeah, I dropped a deuce.
During a game.
Hey, that's out of context.
He pooped in his pants.
We don't do out of context here, Momo.
Is he being fun, or was that a little creepy?
I think it's a little, oh.
Does it make him more relatable, or is it just gross?
It makes him more relatable. I think it does. Listen, raise your hand if you don't have a story like that. Right? Happens to everybody, okay?
Yeah.
There's certain lines that even we don't.
So you think this makes him more relatable?
Yes. Everybody listening to that everybody in the world has a story like this, right?
Right.
The only question is, would you ever tell anybody that story? right? Would you ever admit to that personally or publicly? Kike, good for you. Everybody. Sharts.
Bergman, make him more relatable or just gross?
Well, I mean, I know Kike. I don't know him personally, but I know Kike from his time with the Dodgers, and this is very much who he is. And so I love him for it.
Yeah.
I think this is all great.
I don't really want to know anymore about it.
I mean, you don't want to know, like, the consistency.
I don't want to know the details. I don't want to know how he cleaned it up. I don't want to know when. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it really has happened to everybody except for Amanda. But it has happened.
Oh, I guarantee everybody does. Come on.
She's saying she's never had it.
She said she's never had it.
I never have. I swear to you.
Yes, you have. Everyone has.
No, I have not.
Have you ever had a colonoscopy?
Me?
Yeah.
No.
What's coming?
Yeah, it's going to happen to you. I promise. This is like biology. Everybody has this.
So
maybe when I become old and lose control of my bowels. But, like, I haven't so far. In my 44 years, I mean, as a child, I'm sure.
Well, they say 40,
adult,
45 is when you have to start getting them.
Well, then I've still got some time.
Like, they make you drink the stuff, and then all of a sudden, it's just like,
oh, it's awful.
You're in the bathroom for hours,
but
and
Kike
it's just, you know.
Wasn't even in that situation.
Photoshop in college, right here.
Yeah, Jorge, was that make it more relatable or gross?
Oh, relatable, for sure.
All right, you guys are all okay with that. All right, so, Momo, here's a good question for you, because you were at the Clipper game last night.
Yeah.
They're 1-4, 1-5 since Russ.
1-5.
1-5. How, you know me, I'm president of the Russell Westbrook fan club, and I actually think he's played okay for them.
He has.
How responsible is Russ for the Clippers' struggles over their last 6 games?
Not much.
You think they're
still? 20%.
So I mean, you think they're sticking with him?
100%. They'll
continue to start him, continue to play him 35 minutes a game.
Yes.
And really?
Yes. I think when you add a new player, oftentimes after a trade, like the same thing happened when Kyrie joined Luka, okay? They were like 0-4 when they were together. This is pretty common when you add and change the rotations on a team. Players have to learn how to play together. But I was at a lot of these games. Like, I went to the first game that Russ played with him against the Kings, 176 to 175. He was great. He did great for them. Like, I was there last night. He was good. It's not on Russ. Like, the only one you could probably put on him was when the ball went through his hands up there in Sacramento. Like, that was a kind of Eric Gordon threw a pass kind of too hard at him, and it went through Russ's hands, and he even said afterwards, I kind of took my eyes off it. I lost focus. But I think it's more when the Clippers lose, it's because they have these total mental lapses in the third quarter. I mean, they went from being up 7 at the half to down by 16 in the fourth quarter, and then having to rally again and win that game against Memphis. They just have these huge lapses
now,
all the time.
Now, I have said on this show that because of their roster and how deep it is, that if Kawhi and Paul George are healthy, they're going to the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah, they can win.
Am I overrating them?
Nope. They are really good. And I'm telling you, Kawhi is Kawhi again. Like, the Kawhi that you saw,
he's playing like 38 minutes a game.
Yeah. The Kawhi you saw in the playoffs a couple years ago when they went to the Western Conference Finals before he got hurt with that ACL, he looks like that again. And the only question to me is, can they play enough defense?
So why do you think they've lost 5 of their last 6? Admitting as I am that they're good.
Yeah. I think when you introduce, when you change the way a team plays, like, first of all, they added 3 guys at the trade deadline.
Yeah. I hated the Kennard trade. I wouldn't have given
up on him. He wasn't happy in LA.
Okay.
That was kind of a mutual thing.
Right.
And it's hard to give up shooting. But
And by the way, he was 5 for 5 against him
last
night.
He's a great shooter. It's just hard defensively. He gets beat a lot defensively. He's kind of a liability out there.
Right.
And they also have too many guards. And so they got Eric Gordon, who's somebody they've really needed like that. The Clippers' problem has been the same for the entire time Paul and Kawhi have been there, which is that Paul and Kawhi are not always there.
Right.
They are on the team, but they are so in and out of the lineup that there's never a way to build consistency.
If they were to flame out, like let's say losing the first round, because the West is wide open.
Yeah, and that could totally happen.
What would the consequences of that be?
I think they, how do I phrase this? I think it kind of
like
depends
if the
on,
Lakers flame out, we know LeBron, AD, and Darvin are all coming back next year.
Yeah.
If the Clippers flame out, are Ty Lue, Paul George, and Kawhi all coming back next year?
I think so. But I don't know so.
Really?
I'm less certain of that than I would be about your statement about the Lakers.
What about Westbrook? You think he comes back next year to them?
Maybe.
Depends on the money?
Depends on the money. Look, I think Russ loves playing in L.A. around his family. And this gives him a chance to do that. He definitely wants to be wanted. And that I know he's very happy with the Clippers, and especially in a locker room with guys that want him and appreciate him.
Right.
I think the more that I'm around him with the Clippers, the more I realize it was never going to work with the Lakers. Does that make sense? Like, it was never going to work with him and LeBron on the same team.
Yeah, because LeBron, they both need the ball. Yeah.
And I think in a lot of ways, because Russ played with Paul, and Paul had this quote the other day with J.J. Redick. Did you see this?
No, but he was great. Paul George was great last night.
42 points. Paul George said to J.J. Redick, I like being the co-star. Like, I don't want to be the alpha.
Mm-hmm.
And that was an interesting quote. It was very real and truthful. But I think that's also what the problem has been for the Clippers, is that they don't have a true alpha.
Yeah, because Kawhi's non-communicative.
Yeah, Kawhi's quiet and is just Kawhi. He's sort of like the velociraptor, okay? Like he's
right.
Okay? And he's not a leader per se. He just plays really hard and is really good. Paul can be if you need him to be, but that's not really his persona. He'd much rather be the co-star. Like he's fine being the Pippin, right? Mm-hmm. But you got to have a Michael. And I think the reason why the Clippers wanted Russ is because he has that edge. Now, the Lakers didn't need that. LeBron's the guy.
Right.
LeBron can be the alpha. You fall in line behind LeBron. And that's like the more you're around it now, you're like, oh, well, that was never going to work between those two.
Yeah. This team's better now. The team, the roster and the team they have now. The question is, with only 17 games left, did they make the changes quick enough? Like, do they have enough time?
Do they have enough time?
Yeah, which will turn out. All right, I want to ask you guys about this. There was a game between a hockey game between the Kings and the New York Rangers last week, and the Rangers have a player named K'Andre Miller. And he was ejected for spitting on Kings defenseman Drew Doughty. K'Andre Miller says the spitting was accidental. Can you accidentally spit on someone, Bergman?
Can you? No, I mean, yes. I guess you kind of can.
No,
but
I
don't think this
like
was
spittle coming out. But this was like a loogie. That I mean, this was thick. And this was deliberate.
It looked like he really.
They threw the ref threw him out.
Yeah, you can't accidentally do that.
Right.
So he got suspended for it. I mean, if he's going to get a 3-game suspension, it wasn't.
Did
not
he argue post nasal drip?
No, but
you know, I have a condition here, and I take Flonase.
I mean, it reminds me of somebody says I cheated on my girlfriend or my wife. I slept with this other girl. I did it accidentally. No, would you fall into her? You can't accidentally spit on somebody.
I mean, you can accidentally spit
right
while you're talking.
Yeah,
you know, but a loogie, no.
I mean, come on. That doesn't make any sense. Did you see Jonathan Quick won his first game as a goalie with Vegas?
Good for him.
Hey, what'd you guys think of that? That the Kings. You know, Jonathan Quick is probably going to get his number retired by the Kings one day. That the Kings didn't give him a heads up before they traded him. They just, Rob Blake, the GM, was not on the trip. The team was in Edmonton. He called him in Edmonton, told him, I have just traded you, but didn't tell him beforehand that he was getting him traded. Is that just part of the business, or should the Kings have told him?
You know what? 5 years ago, I would have said that's wrong. I would have said that's really messed up. This is a franchise icon. You got to give him a heads up.
And Rob Blake himself was a franchise icon. Right. And anybody who knows Rob knows he's like a stand-up guy and a good dude, but he elected not to give him a heads up.
I also think that this day and age, things move so fast, it's hard.
Right.
Like, everything, like a trade is made in an instant, it's on Twitter. You know, it's reported like instantly. Things happen.
Well, I was thinking about this. This relates to, you know, Pau Gasol's going to get retired. His number retired tomorrow night. I remember the day he was traded, how shocked I was, because he was a multiple time All-Star and nobody ever heard about it until the deal was done.
It was so quiet.
I think that's probably the last completely, although the Durant trade really didn't leak, did it?
A little bit. There was a little bit earlier in the week. There was Woj had a report that they were lurking. Now, the one trade that I think this is the one that I, Paul George to Oklahoma City. And do you remember that?
Yeah, I didn't even.
Nobody knew about that.
I went to bed and woke up the next day and it was like, what? So,
I did not mean this to sound like a flex, okay?
Okay.
But like, that was I broke that one.
Okay.
And every year on June 30th, I still get that tweet retweeted at me by Thunder fans.
That you told them Paul George was coming.
Yeah, it was just like Paul George has been traded to Oklahoma City, according to sources. And it's like that tweet comes up every year, June 30th.
Right.
Because I think people knew Paul George was going to be traded, but no one ever mentioned Oklahoma City. It was like totally out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Of all the destinations. Even when Kawhi got traded, to Toronto, remember the Vegas line moved?
Yeah.
Like all of a sudden the Raptors' chances of winning the title went up from like 50-1 to 25-1 one night.
It was still good. If I hope you took the 25-1 because you could make some easy money. All right, coming up next. I'm glad you're here because you're the perfect person to ask. Major League, I love all these changes Major League Baseball has made. I love getting rid of the shift.
I don't know.
Pitch clock. Okay, well, I'll let you
know me. I'm like, get off my lawn with that stuff.
But they messed up. There's a loophole in the shift rule that was exposed over the weekend, and I need you to help me fix it. We will attempt to do that next. Mason in Ireland, ESPN LA.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So, you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So, whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
All right, today it's Momo and Ireland. And for those who don't know, Ramona was a college softball player at Stanford. I always make fun of her that she went to Cal, but she really went to Stanford. When I get control of your Twitter account, I'll say you went to Cal again. So I've been excited about these changes that baseball's made. For this discussion, let's focus on the shift. Okay, they got rid of it, which I liked. But there's a loophole, and I'm putting it on you and I to fix it. All right. So here's what happened. Major League Baseball restricted the shift. Specifically, there needs to be two infielders on either side of second base. So you can't move the third baseman in between first and second to get a pull hitter. Okay. The infield, you have to have two guys left to second base and two guys right.
Okay.
All right. And so the reason they did this was, you know, guys like Max Muncy and, you know, Joey Gallo, who played for the Dodgers last year. Gallo is a straight pull hitter. So
I can already tell you what people are doing.
All right. So on
moving
Friday.
Moving an outfielder.
Yep. On Friday.
Yep.
Okay. The Red Sox put an outfielder between first and second base in shallow right field and shifted another to be in center field against Joey Gallo. So in essence,
they're going with two outfielders.
The shift is back.
Yeah.
How do we fix it?
I don't think you can. We used to do that too. With, like, honestly, in softball, that's a very common thing, is when you play against like a left-handed slap hitter.
Right.
Okay. So you move your left fielder over mm-hmm. to like those left-handed slappers are always going to try to go to that 5-6 hole.
Right.
And like, if you're really good at that skill, you can just shoot the ball right through the 5-6 hole all the time, even if they put the third baseman in your face and the shortstop right in the hole. Okay.
Right.
So what we would do is have the left fielder come in mm-hmm. and go right in the 5-6 hole. So that's like the spot that the ball would usually land in. And you'd move the center fielder a little to the left and you move the right fielder a little towards center. And you'd sort of dare them to pull it. You can't fix it. There's nothing.
Okay. How about this? You add to the shift rule that you have to have two guys on the left of second base and two guys on the right of second base. Uh-huh. What if you said all three outfielders have to be at least 30 feet deep onto the grass? You can't move them in.
Then you have to kind of put like a line that's 30 feet.
Right. It'd be easy. Hash marks. Bergman, would that work?
Possibly, or you could just do the same thing. If there's two guys on the left side of the infield and two guys on the right side of the infield, that means you can just tell the outfielders one guy has to be in left, one guy has to be in right, and one guy has to be in center.
Yeah, but that's too much to...
What constitutes left, center, right, and center, though?
Because people shade hitters all the time.
So you could, sure. You should be allowed to shade. There's an area, like you have a certain amount of space in between that you can go to. I don't think it matters at all. Like, I have no problem with this portion of the shift.
Yeah, and
if you want to take your left fielder and put it all the way in right field, leaving open that entire
right. Like the right fielder.
Yeah, but that's what they're going to do to Max Muncy then.
Sure, yeah. But I mean, then he's got to be able to hit over them. I mean, I have no problem with the outfield. It was the infield that was a problem because it would just jam
Greg,
up that entire infield.
I don't know if you're getting this whole picture here. They're taking an outfielder and making him an infielder.
No,
really.
He's not
they're
in the infield.
Shallow, right.
He's standing right on the grass where the dirt
okay.
meets the grass,
oh,
but his, both
oh,
of his
is,
feet
is he
are
right
on the grass.
There?
Yeah.
I didn't see
that. Yeah, so there's a, I don't know if you can see that, Momo.
Yeah.
He's standing.
Yeah, I know.
I could already tell
what it was going to be.
Right.
We literally do this in softball a lot. Like, the left fielder will move in and play very shallow because you're taking away that spot, and that way the shortstop doesn't have to play so far to the 5-6 hole. They can play kind of a true shortstop.
You can say that there's not five guys on the right side of the field.
Oh, yeah. That's
so
what
you
can say.
You can put a max of people on a certain side of the field.
Yeah, I think they should. I think the spirit of the rule is being violated because you wanted the shift gone so pull hitters could pull the ball. Now, if you put an outfielder right in the middle of the hole between first and second, he can't pull the ball. I mean, it defeats the whole purpose of killing the shift.
But let's come back to the traditionalist argument, which is hit the ball where they're not. Like, it drives me crazy when I watch hitters. Like, there's five guys over there and you're trying to pull it because you're trying to hit home runs, and the analytics
right.
guys say you gotta hit home runs, you know. Hit the ball where they're not standing. If you go down the left field line, if Muncy just sprays the ball to left field a couple of times, they're gonna have to respect it. It's like in basketball. If you show you can hit the 3-point shot, they have to guard you.
Right, but there's some guys like Muncy's never going to hit the ball to left field, Greg.
He can. You can do it.
He can. I mean, Joey Gallo is not. There's
right.
two different types of hitters. He is going to go to the right field.
Yeah, so I think this
also,
violates
like, if the
spirit
playing so shallow,
of the shift rule, and they need to address the outfield. I mean, they got to do something with him. Okay, let me get this in here before we go to What's Up, Fool.
It's you see, foo, not fool.
Thank you. What... Did you watch UCLA over the weekend?
A little bit, yeah, against the Arizona game.
They played great.
Yeah, they look good.
They played fantastic. I love watching their team. We tried to get Mick Cronin on the show today, couldn't do it.
You know what? I think I'm going to be able to get you Jaime Jaquez's dad.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I almost got that for
maybe
today
shoot,
for you.
Maybe shoot for Wednesday.
Shoot for Wednesday.
When you're back.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, because he has two kids that
yeah.
are playing in the...
That's the
His daughter... They lost Washington State,
mm-hmm.
but his daughter upset the number one ranked team in the country, Stanford, over the weekend.
Yeah, thanks for rubbing that in.
But here's the problem with UCLA. Jalen Clark is their best defensive player. Maybe the best defensive player in the Pac-12. Might win defensive player of the year. Out for the year
Ooh.
With a torn Achilles. Bergman, can they even win the Pac-12 tournament without Jalen Clark?
Absolutely. He's a huge loss, but not only is he the Pac-12 Defensive Player of the Year, he might be the National Defensive Player
yeah.
of the Year. He's that good.
Right. So,
but yes, no, you can. I mean, you could. If you watch the game on Saturday, they still had an incredible defensive scheme.
Yeah, he went out early. He went out in the
right.
first half.
And they still were able to just shut down Arizona. So they can. It's going to make it very, very difficult because of what he does offensively, what he does defensively. But guys like Dylan Andrews, Andrews and Will McClendon are really going to have to step up off the bench. They're freshmen. They're going to have they're just going to have to play really good team ball and really and make up for it. But the guys,
Singleton probably goes into the starting lineup now.
Probably. Yeah, he's done it before. So he would probably be the one that goes in there and probably takes. He's a good defender too. He's actually a very good defender. This is the best defensive team in the country.
Right, but what's interesting is last year when they needed a basket in the tournaments, and you know, and you said they had a good season last year. I always thought that Johnny Juzang was the guy who got us the basket. Who gets it the basket this time now,
Greg? It's very simple. It's Jaime Jaquez. He is 100%.
Even though he's not really a great one-on-one player, he's just a bull in a china shop.
He is a he has such good footwork. He is actually a very, very good one-on-one player. When you need a basket, you go to Jaime Jaquez.
But what's funny is he doesn't out-quick anybody. Like, he's not dribbling around people. He just goes through them.
He seems like a guy who's going to play in the NBA.
Absolutely. No question.
Right? No,
he'll be, you know who, you know, he's going to be.
He's undersized.
Yeah, but he's going to be Mark Madsen. He's going to have an 8 to 10 year career of being a bull in a china shop.
Yeah.
If Mark Madsen can play 10 years in the NBA, Jaime Jaquez might be better than Madsen.
He might be. I don't really agree. He's a bull in a china shop.
How tall is he?
6'7"
Yeah, there's a role for him in the NBA. Can he guard on the perimeter?
He does now. He's good. The whole team is good defensively.
Yeah.
So he's a great defensive player.
I actually think, Greg, Jaime Jaquez has a better NBA future than Tiger Campbell does.
Well, Tiger Campbell doesn't have an NBA future.
Well, don't you think he'd be ideal?
God, you're so negative.
No, no.
It's not negative. No. I love these guys.
And he might be right. But, Greg, you're
so definitive.
It's not negative.
No.
He's got to put that on his bulletin board, man. You're going to be the guy. Okay, good. He shouts out when he's drafted.
Here's Tiger Campbell in the NBA.
Yeah.
He's Dennis Schroeder. He's a backup.
He's smaller.
He's a backup point guard.
But like Tyus Jones.
Yeah.
Tyus was great.
Who can give your starter, he's going to play 15, 20 minutes off the bench. Cameron Payne.
Cam Payne, the
guy who backs up Chris Paul in Phoenix. Mm-hmm. You know, he's a solid. He's not going to turn it over. He's not going to do anything stupid. Yeah. He can shoot. I think he's got an NBA future. I don't know if he's going to play 15 years in the NBA, but I bet you he could play 8 to 10 years.
Look, I love all of these guys, whether they make it in the NBA. They don't really have the typical NBA bodies or the typical NBA size to play at their positions. So I don't know, but in college, they're fantastic. They're everything you need for a college team.
I just wish Juzang would have stayed because he's buried at the end of Utah's, like, he's a two-way player for the Jazz.
Juzang had that one good year in the tournament where he just went off.
Right.
But besides that, next year he was not very good. He has not been all that great since then. Jaquez is a much, much better player, and he's got a better mid-range game.
What's he projected as? Like that.
Probably a second-round pick.
If not, he's the type of guy. He's Austin Reeves. He doesn't get drafted. He'll get invited to 10 different NBA camps.
He's a leader. Yeah. He has a fantastic footwork. He's going to make his shots around the basket. He doesn't have a consistent enough 3-point shot.
Look at this. Jaime Jaquez is projected as a first round pick in ESPN's latest mock draft.
Good for him because he's a great kid.
Yeah.
And I love Cronin. I just love the way there's no easy possessions for the other side either way, offensively or defensively. UCLA could miss, Greg, it's the only team I've ever watched that they could miss 10, 15 shots in a row and maybe not fall behind because they get so into people on defense.
When they clamp on defense, they clamp hard.
So if the Lakers go 1 for 20 from three, they're in big trouble. If UCLA goes 1 for 20 from three, they're probably behind by not by that much because the other team's probably 2 for 15.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. So there's also, when you watch these games when they start coming up, watch the last 8 minutes of a half, especially in the second half. They shut teams down where they put up 2 points, 4 points from the last 8 minutes. It's insane what they can do. So, I mean, because losing Jalen Clark is going to hurt that, but because they have that identity and that DNA, I think they're going to be just fine in the tournament.
All right, coming up next, what's up, Foo?
There you go.
As Ramona would say. We'll get Bergman and Jorge in here. They'll throw a bunch of stuff at us, ESPN LA.
Thanks, Chris. All right, so Derek Carr, which Chris mentioned in the very, very beginning open, said Derek Carr is getting a nice paycheck, $150 million over 4 years with $100 million
guaranteed. Yeah, so I was
waiting
for someone to get to this, so I'm glad you are.
Mm-hmm, from the Saints. The fourth year is for $50 million, so it's essentially 3 years and $100 million.
How much is guaranteed, though?
$100 million is guaranteed.
All right.
But anyway, the Saints can get out after 2 years if they want to. Carr is an average quarterback who can help if healthy. Daniel Jones, on the other hand, is looking for $45 million a year. So who would you rather have? Derek Carr at around 33 a year or Daniel Jones at 45?
Derek Carr all day long, yes, and twice on Sunday. And even if that was reversed, I would take Derek Carr. If Derek Carr, yep, was 45 and Daniel Jones was 33, I'd take Derek Carr. Derek Carr, yeah, is a good NFL quarterback. I don't know why this narrative started that Derek Carr can't play football.
No, he's great.
Daniel Jones, Greg, has had one good year. You want to pay a guy $50 million when he's had one good year? Last year, he threw 26 interceptions. This year, he was unbelievable.
Daniel Jones can run a little bit more than Derek Carr. But I think Carr is like great leadership ability. I think Carr is going to step right in for the Saints and be good for them. And that division, which is like, was that, would you say that it was the worst division in football last year?
Yeah, we all thought it was going to be the best.
Yeah. NFL, the NFC South. I think Saints go right to the top of the list there because Brady's now retired, right?
Greg, you Carolina, wouldn't take Daniel Jones over Derek Carr, would you?
Not at $45 million. I also don't think that Derek Carr is a fantastic quarterback. He's an average NFL
above
quarterback.
Average. He's like third tier.
So number
first
wise,
tier is like Mahomes and Josh Allen and those guys. Okay, second tier probably not either.
No.
Third tier.
Third tier, leaning towards the fourth tier. He was, look, as his numbers are okay, but when it came down to crunch time and when you really needed him to make a throw, he couldn't make the throw. When he was in the red zone, he could not make the throw. Yeah, I mean, go watch the film.
Well, sometimes you're right, Greg. He made the easy throws look hard. But I still think in terms of poise, accuracy, good teammate, good
savviness.
Leader, yeah, I'm kind of mad the Raiders gave up on him. And so it sounds like the Raiders are going to go after Jimmy G. Greg, would you rather have Derek Carr or Jimmy G?
Probably. God.
I'd rather have Carr. Yeah.
You know what, though? I just think Derek couldn't run Josh McDaniel's system.
Maybe.
You know, like he just, that whole offense seemed out of whack. Like he just, it wasn't a fit for him or anybody else on the offense last year. Except for Josh Jacobs, they franchised him today.
Yeah, well, Josh Jacobs is good.
Yeah.
But I don't think that the debate you just presented us with, I don't think is much of a debate. I would take Derek Carr over Daniel Jones every day.
Well, he's wanting $45 million, so.
Yeah, well, Daniel Jones wants more than that, right?
No, Daniel Jones wants 45.
Okay, got it.
What's up, fool?
All right, so a friend of mine is using a matchmaker service and went out on a date last night.
Okay.
This morning, she was greeted with an email of feedback about the date where they both had to do an basically.
Your friend is the woman.
Yes, my friend is the woman.
All right.
Both had to do an exit interview type thing. So
it
turns out they both enjoyed the date, but didn't find any attraction, but were willing to go out on a second date to see if it was something that could eventually develop. In a non-matchmaker world, would it be weird or rude to ask for an exit interview short, like a questionnaire after the date?
No.
Would you prefer that?
Sure. What I think honesty is the best policy. If I go on a date and somebody wants to know how the date went, I'm happy to answer anything about it.
But like actually like writing out an email.
Was
like,
your friend, so your friend was complimentary of the guy, but no attraction.
It was fine, but like, so I didn't know what she wrote.
By the way,
I
wouldn't go out, if that was the case, why would she agree to a second date?
Because attraction can grow over time. You can't just say that it's
normally it doesn't though, right?
I mean,
normally you're either you can tell on a first date whether or not you're into somebody. Girls, Ramona, normally girls can tell in the first 10 minutes.
Yeah, but I think we could be wrong.
Sure.
I don't believe in this idea that like you know in 10 minutes whether you can stick with this guy or not. I think people grow on you. There's a lot of people like I mean, I'll tell you, like when I first met my husband, I wasn't like, oh,
well,
that's the man
funny.
I'm going to marry.
In college.
No offense.
In
you know?
College, you know, if you're in a fraternity, you get a big sister.
Yeah.
My big sister was this girl, Tina, who was awesome.
Yeah.
And there was a guy in my fraternity that just loved her, couldn't get enough of her. And chased her for two, 3 years,
yeah.
And she just wasn't interested. He stopped. He gave up.
Uh-huh.
And she immediately became like, she was like, why'd you give up?
Right.
And he's like, you weren't into me. And he moved on to another girl, and she was crushed.
Right.
But she blew him off for like 3 years. So things
took me like
change.
A long time to really like be into my future husband. And it was like, people grow on you, especially if you're, also depends on when you meet.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if you're on a date, like you may not be in the right place in your life, but like 3 years later you are.
Hey, Greg, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Is your friend your age?
Yeah, like a year or two.
And
younger.
You two have never gone out?
That's a different question, John.
Hey.
So this is.
Hey.
No, I don't know what you're trying
Johnny,
to do here.
Yeah.
No, but
we're just, no, we're friends.
Okay, you're friends because you used to go out?
Well, sure.
Okay.
That's the way you want to
so
put it.
So how do you feel about her telling you about her other
we have
dates?
We have a very open talk about that all the time.
Okay.
It's totally fine.
That's not unusual. Why aren't you moving on her?
It's because we're friends.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's no such
Jorge,
thing.
Jorge, was that kind of a mealy-mouthed answer from Bergman?
Very.
Oh, no.
We're friends.
Be
been
careful.
Friends for a long time.
All right. Okay, good.
No such
Thanks
thing.
For trying to make
Learn
me
that in Harry Met Sally.
Yeah. Yellow, weird.
All right.
Sorry, Greg. I'm calling you out here.
All right. What's Fine. Up, fool? All right. So on this day in 1912, yeah. Oreo cookies are introduced. 111.
Highly underrated Oreo cookies.
111 years later, it is available in over 100 countries. Is this the best-selling cookie or the greatest cookie ever?
It's pretty close. I still like warm chocolate chip cookies that like
Chewy.
not Chips Ahoy, not the
small
ones.
Like home baked ones.
But like Mrs. Fields or Dee Dee Reese or big thick chocolate chip cookies. That would be my choice A. Oreos though are close. I except when they get gimmicky and put like a and fill the middle with, you know, jalapeno filling or something. It's like, what are you doing? Just give me the double stuffs are good. I like the two black crackers with the double stuff. That's the home run.
Here's what's hard for me about the Oreos. They are my favorite cookie when I have a glass of ice cold milk to dunk them in, right?
Yes.
But if I don't have the milk, not so into it. Like if they're not the dunked in Oreos, then it's just an average cookie. Do you agree?
I do. I mean, I like them with the milk, without the milk. It's one of my favorite cookies for sure. Bergman?
It's a good cookie, but the best cookie? I think that's a little
What is the best cookie?
Thin Mints from the Girl Scout cookies are so good.
Yeah, you got to freeze them.
Frozen Thin Mints are a really good cookie. Just a straight chocolate chip cookie.
Yeah, straight out buttery chocolate chip cookie.
Oh, yeah, that's the best.
Diddy Reese, you call that. That's a UCLA spot. Yep.
Yeah, don't bring in any in, Amanda.
Yeah, bring
please.
In some more.
It's not time for that.
I don't do that to people I like. Because then we'll just all have to eat them.
What's up, foo?
All right, so Pete Maravich is the all-time leading scorer in NCAA basketball history with 3,667 points. Antoine Davis of the Detroit Mercy fell just 4 points short of passing Maravich's all-time record and finished the season 14-9 and not looking at any postseason tourney. Except the CBI, which is the College Basketball Invitational, could come calling. The CBI is a pay-for-play tournament, and the Mercy would have to pay $27,500 to get into this tourney if invited. What should the Mercy do? Pay to get him so he can get to his points, or would you just feel wrong with him getting it that way?
I personally would feel wrong.
Me too.
I think two things. Maravich only played 3 years.
Oh, good point.
He also didn't have a three-point line, and Dale Brown, the old LSU coach, who was Shaq's coach at LSU, said if there would have been a three-point line when Maravich played at LSU, he played for his dad, he said he would have averaged 50 points a game.
Wow.
That's how dominant he was. I like having Pistol Pete as the record holder. And this other guy played 4 years, played way more games.
Yeah.
And they don't deserve to have a postseason. That team isn't any good. So I'm Team Maravich.
It's got to be authentic. You know? Like, I think if you have to pay extra for them to be in there, I mean,
that's just how the CBI works. It's not really there.
Yeah, I hope they don't do it.
Yeah.
What do you think, Greg?
I don't know, man. I mean, I think, like, if they're willing to do it and put the money into it and you can have his name on there and it says Antoine Davis, Detroit Mercy, all-time NCAA leading scorer.
They would
put
Detroit Mercy on the map, but I think it's misleading. Like, it's not on the up and up. To me, it sounds like you almost created a false premise to break the record.
Sure. I mean, while I agree with you, but I think just overall for the school itself, I think it would be better for Detroit to have that.
All right. Well, let's see what happens. Yep. They haven't done it yet?
No, they haven't done anything yet.
Okay.
What's that, foo?
Not that I've seen, at least. All right. So there are some new terms in the dating dictionary in this Gen Z world that we live in. I have a few of these, and I just want to see if you know any of them.
Oh, I'll know all of them. What are they?
Okay. I can't wait. By the way, I had never heard any of these four that
perfect.
I have.
I will explain all of them to you. Go ahead. What's the first one?
All right. So give me situationship, John.
Situationship is when you're on a cruise All right. And then the situation from Jersey Shore is on the boat, and then they call it a situation ship.
Okay, now what dictionary is this?
It's just the dating dictionary. It was on a story.
Okay, I would call this as a situational relationship where you don't have the relationship only exists because you're in the same in the, this situation.
Are either one of us right?
Momo is much closer. Oh no, hey, Jorge, what do you think?
Okay, so two people in a situation, not official, but,
like The Bachelor. Yeah. Like they wouldn't meet any other way except for on The Bachelor or Below Deck. The people dating on Below Deck, right?
What was yours, Jorge?
So two people in a some kind of a friendship more than
hooking up.
Yeah, exactly. In a situationship, but it's not official.
Ding, ding, ding. The in-between status when you're more than a hookup, but not a couple.
Oh.
It's a situationship.
More than a hookup, but not a couple.
Yeah,
I had a few of those years and years ago, but okay, situationship. I think I was closer, one for one. Right. Go, what's the next one?
I can't wait to hear what you're going to do with this one.
Good.
Cushioning. What is cushioning?
Okay. Oh. So.
Orale.
No. It's all right. So cushioning, it's pretty simple, actually. It's when you are going to dump somebody, when you're going to break up with them.
Oh.
You give the classic line, it's not you, it's me. You provide them with cushioning by saying it's your fault when the truth is you don't want to go out with her anymore. So you provide her with cushioning by taking the blame yourself. What do you think?
That's a really good answer. I'm going to go for the sake of entertainment in a totally different direction and say that cushioning is what happens when you land on your butt or something. You got some padding
and
there.
And you fall on something other than the floor. All right, yeah. Jorge, what do you think? Cushioning.
It's not for air.
All right, so he thinks it's something. No, he thinks it's something dirty. Greg, what is the actual answer?
The actual answer is keeping backup relationships to soften the blow if the main one ends.
Plan B.
Hedging your bets.
It's your plan B, exactly.
Okay.
You're cushioning the breakup.
Okay.
So you were closer, John.
So, yeah. Thank you.
Yep.
Two for two, as far as I'm concerned. How many more of these are there?
I have two more.
All right, perfect.
Two more. Date view. What is date view?
Okay. So
one word, date view.
Date view, right. So it's when you have a date scheduled, all right, but you don't really want to go, all right? So you cancel the date, and then you follow the person to see what they did. You're on a date view.
I think that's a stalker thing, but that's a whole other thing.
Go. What do you think,
Momo? I think date view is you get caught up in a date, and then you get, like, you hook up because you're on the date with this person, and then afterwards, like, sort of like beer goggles, like the relationship version of beer goggles.
Oh, okay, Jorge, what do you think?
Date view, where you have different options. If one doesn't work, you go to the next one. Date view. Like an interview kind of thing.
Similar. So date view is a date that feels more like an interview. So you're on a first date and they're asking you all the questions and it's just an interview.
I would guess, Ramona, that you and I have been on many dates where we've been guilty of that.
My entire dating relationship history.
Because when I go out, I always want the other person to talk about them.
Yeah, exactly. Everybody likes talking about themselves.
Yeah. So I want to be very careful not to come off as like the guy that won't shut up about himself. So if you and I were out on a date, I would say, tell me about yourself. You had any brothers or sisters? You had blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And I would just keep asking you questions about
that's
you.
That's literally what I do to everybody.
To keep me from having to talk about myself.
100%. And it makes people feel good about
John,
themselves.
John, you're 3 for 3.
Yes, I am. And watch this, because I'm about to go 4 for 4. Right, Bergman, what's the last one?
And this one I actually saved for last.
Perfect.
I can't wait to hear what you have.
Yeah.
Kitten fishing.
All right, this is easy.
Whoa.
No, not meant for air.
I already know where you're going.
Boy, your mind's in the gutter. All right. So, kitten fishing is a term that existed back in the 60s when they had the Playboy Club. Okay.
Oh.
All right. So when guys would go, a kitten was a term of endearment men used to say to women before it became politically incorrect. So when you would go to the Playboy Club and you had all the Playboy bunnies serving drinks and stuff, if you wanted to go out with one of the Playboy bunnies, you would be kitten fishing.
Ah, okay.
Right? That's my prediction. Ramona?
I think it's like using your pet to attract a...
Oh, that's good.
Right? Like, you know, people go to the dog park and everybody has bait. Yeah.
Yeah, so if you have an attractive cat, you would say,
talk
come
about
on
your
over
cat,
to the house,
you know.
Meet my cat. And,
attractive cat.
Yeah, like my mom has a very attractive cat, Danny the cat. think it helps her get dudes. Here, Greg, what is the actual answer?
Jorge, do you have an answer, Jorge?
Oh, just give us the right.
Okay, Jorge doesn't want to get fired
Jorge's
on a Monday.
Jorge's answer for the third consecutive time is not for air.
Not for air. All right, so kitten fishing is changing things on your profile to make you more appealing.
Oh.
Not changing who you are completely like catfishing.
Well, wait a minute. Don't
so it's
most,
a smaller version.
Oh, it's a lesser version of catfishing.
Yes, exactly.
Don't get most it. People lie on their dating profiles?
No.
100%. Yes.
Yes.
What do you mean? Who said no?
I said no.
What
Both
do you mean?
Of them.
But so, the answer is actually yes.
Yeah, the answer is almost everybody is. I remember,
whether it's a, right, the only question, how big the lie
I
is.
I used to work with somebody here at this radio station that I will not mention his name, but on his dating profile picture.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. He had a picture of him and Spiro Ditas. Spiro's a really good looking guy.
Yeah.
And he put the picture of the two of them
on
his, that was his dating profile picture. And then you were left to determine which guy he was. Was he the guy on the left or the guy on the right? And he figured a few girls will be dumb enough to think I'm Spiro and way I'll get better dates. And I don't know if it ever worked, but that's what he tried.
Man, I hope not.
What's up, Flu?
All right, is that it?
That'll do it.
Okay.
That was a good one, Greg. You put some work into that.
Yes, that was those were excellent, Bergman. And as always, I went 4 for 4. All right, Rick Bucher, our old friend Rick Bucher, who works at Fox.
Yeah, I saw
now,
him last night, actually. Yeah.
Said something the other day that I love Rick, but I completely disagree with what he said. I'll play it for you. And also, I love, this is a weird thing to say, I love Chaka Khan.
Chaka Khan?
Yeah.
Chaka Khan.
She has greatest hits albums. Like every time you look, but she is mad. She is having. She was
not
ranked,
mess with Chaka.
She was ranked by Rolling Stone, and she is not happy with her place on the rankings of the all-time greatest singers. We'll get into that next too. Mason in Ireland, ESPN LA.